All right, Numbers chapter 16, if you would. Numbers chapter 16, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at the other side of things. You know, human relations are very important. How we relate with other people, how we talk, how we react and respond is so important. And you know, I'll tell you what, it's where we're at every day. We have people. Maybe you're just in a family. Maybe you're just a child or a teen here today, and you've got interaction with your siblings, your parents every day. Maybe you go to school, and there's interaction with a teacher and your students that are there with you in your class. Maybe you are at work, and you are there with people, and you have coworkers, bosses, people that are there. And you know what? How we react and respond to the way that they do things or how things that they say, we deal with that all the time, don't we? And learning how to take that is such an important thing. And we have looked at 1 Peter, at the end of chapter 2. We've looked at 1 Peter chapter 3 with husbands and wives and how we deal with those difficult situations. We've looked at Joseph and how he dealt with hurt, and how the brothers dealt with hurt. In fact, more so, we looked at the bitterness that the brothers had. And we love Joseph's perspective on how he dealt with the hurt. And of course, he had a perspective through God's mind and God's eyes. And he looked at it through God's way. And so we've looked at a lot of things. This morning, I want to look at the other side of things, kind of on the offensive side. We've been looking on the defensive, kind of how we take it when people say things or mean or in one case, like in 1 Peter chapter 2, what if we're accused of something that we didn't even do and we take it patiently? What's God's thoughts for that? But in this case, this morning, we're going to look at kind of on the offensive side and the things that we need to be very careful with doing. And I'll say that a lot of things that end up being issues are things that come out of our mouths. But what comes from the mouth starts somewhere else, and that starts in the heart. And so we want to look at the issue of having a critical spirit. When I say a critical spirit, it's what's going on inside. What's going on inside of our hearts when we see people doing things that we don't agree with, we don't like, or just annoy us, bother us. What are we going to do on the offensive side of things? How should we act that way? And so we're in Numbers chapter 16, and if you're familiar with Numbers chapter 16, you know that this is a pretty an amazing story that's given to here, and a lot of times it's preached from the perspective of how to deal and respond with authority and leadership, and certainly that will make some application to that today, but I want you to keep it in context with not just leadership, but with everybody that you deal with and everybody that you rub shoulders with on a day-to-day basis. So with that, I've entitled it Swallowed Up by a Critical Spirit. And I think if you know the story, you understand why I name it that, Swallowed Up by a Critical Spirit. Indeed, these men were. But let's go ahead and look. Numbers chapter 16, let's go ahead and read the first three verses. And I'll read it, you just follow along and pick up on some key things as I read. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Now I want you to picture what's going on here. Obviously, Israel is a very large nation at this time. There's a lot of people, probably several million people, and as they go through and are wandering through the wilderness, making their way to the promised land. Here we have this group of people that obviously God had to set up some authority and leadership. And by the way, who did God set up as a leadership for all these people? Moses and Aaron, right? He was the one that put them in that position. Ultimately, you realize that when we're critical of other people, we're being critical of God. Did you hear that? When we're being critical of other people, we're being critical of God. You say, well, they did that. Yeah, but God has allowed certain things and allowed people to be who they are. And how, you know what, it doesn't really matter what people do. It's how I respond to that and what I do in this case. I told you we're not going to be looking at the defensive this morning, but in a small case, you know, Korah was a little bit on the defensive. Moses had led a certain way. Aaron had led a certain way. Korah and these men are coming in response to what God had done. They're saying, listen, these men are taking too much. So in a way, there's the offensive and the defensive side of this. But here they come and they complain. These men are doing too much. But folks, they were really complaining about God. God, you have them in leadership. Now, I could get into a lot of detail on why these men were bitter, and I think they were bitter. I'm not going to, it's not a part of the message this morning, but in a previous message I preached this years ago, I did studies on why these men were so bitter. And I'll tell you, it's more than just some men that thought they had. I mean, what's said here, these first few verses? What did they recognize that all the people were? They were all holy before God, right? We're God's people. Any of us can lead. And you know what? Honestly, that could be true. But who did God choose to lead? God was the one that picked Moses and Aaron to lead. And so, yes, they had a point that anybody can be used as a leader, but God had chosen them. But there's more than that. If you look at the lines of these men, even in their relations and the ancestry in which they have come from, they were ones that they thought that they had been deserved this right. They should have been the ones to take on the leadership of Israel. And they were not chosen to be the ones that God chose to use. And so again, I could get into a lot of details with that and a lot of things to show. These men had a lot of reasons of why is Moses, why is Aaron, why are these two men chosen? Why aren't we? We are the elite. We are the ones that have, you know, from the lines down through, we should be the ones. And they had human reasoning to think that way. But I want you to think about this. These men, Korah and the ones that are mentioned here. And by the way, when you look at the context here, I want you to understand, there's the first two words, now Korah, and then there's a description of who Korah was, and then we have Dathan and Abiram, and it says, took men. If you go back and look in the Hebrew that's written here, it's Korah's really the one where this comes from. And it's Korah that has this struggle. We do have Dathan and Abiram that are involved, but it's the construction of the sentences here in the words. This comes from Korah. He was the one that took men. He was the one that was gathering these people together against Moses and Aaron. But with what's going on here, what were they critical against? I want you to look at this first point, and there's three points this morning that I want you to see. A very, very simple message. Number one, let's not be critical. And this, my friends, is where it starts. They were critical. They were critical of something else that somebody had or didn't have or got from somebody else. In this case, it was their power, their leadership. Again, verse 1, now Korah ends, took men, and they rose up against before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, men of renown, to the end of the verse. And look at verse 3. Here's why. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, here's what their criticalness was. Ye take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of you, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. You know, it's interesting that you can find anyone to be critical about, right? What really is the law, if I could say, the medium of criticalness? Maybe I should ask this question. I've made this statement and made this illustration and analogy many, many times. Maybe I should put it this way. Who is the medium when we are being critical of other people? Who is the rule? Well, certainly Satan is working. Certainly Satan is the one that wants to disrupt that. Who is the one in which, I probably have put it in an obscure way. When we're looking at other people You see, being critical is saying that somebody is to this or to that or not enough this or not enough that. Does that make sense? Okay? And who are we using as the medium or the judge? It's ourselves, you see. When I look at somebody else that's doing too much, they're doing more than me, and they're doing more than what I've allowed, or somebody's not doing enough, who am I using as the medium? Myself. If somebody's too tall, it's because they're taller than me. If they're too short, it's because they are shorter than me. And so we're looking at everybody else, and we're using ourselves as the guide, ourselves as the medium, and therefore we're making critical statements about them. Now, it's interesting, we can always find somebody to be critical about. Are there people around you that talk too much? Oh, that person talks too much. That person over there, they never say a word. They don't ever talk. You don't know what's going on in their minds. Well, that person over there, they're always happy. How dare, right? That person over there, they're always grumpy. They've always got something going on. And that person over there, all he does is spend money. That cheap guy over there never spends a dime. Now, it's a little bit humorous. Is it easy to be critical of other people? Who's the only person? Now, and I understand some of you will find fault in this, but for the most part, who's the only person that we're not very critical about? Right. And I know some of you say, well, I don't do a very good job at this, you know, and maybe there's a humility about it. But honestly, we can be humble, and yet we still. Folks, do you realize when we're critical of other people, we're saying that we have the right balance? Right? Again, if it's a person that's talking too much, well, then I have just declared that I talk the right amount. And it's amazing how we can find fault with anybody. Now, look at this. Now, I told you that this whole context, it is within leadership. These people looked at the leader. I don't want you to take this message and just looking at your response to me and my leadership here at Faith Bible Church. I think we missed the boat. The point of this passage is criticalness with anyone. Yes, there was a clear application with the leadership there, and you can apply it that way, but I don't want that to be your main focus right now. I want you to think about other people. I just asked you the question, is it easy to be critical about anybody? Yes. Again, you know, you go out into the parking lot. Why do they drive such a, you know, junky vehicle? Why don't they ever spend money on anything? But why did they buy such fancy, you know, look at their house. Look at the way they keep their house. Boy, you can't even walk in there. You know, that person, well, all they must do is just clean their house all day. You know, and you can't even find a speck of dirt. You know, it's we find everything to be critical of. Now, within the context with the leadership here, it's interesting. Typically, when somebody is a leader, you might think, we don't think that he's doing enough. Right? Is that legitimate? We don't think that this leader is doing enough. You know, he calls himself the boss, but he doesn't, you know, he's always telling everybody to do this, but he doesn't do anything. You know, you would typically think that would be the thing that people would be critical for. That's not the case here. What was the problem here? He's doing too much. Now, let me ask you, do you think that Korah probably would have been critical if Moses would have been in for the ride? Probably. You know what? You know what? This leader here that we have that we have from the Lord, boy, he's not doing anything. And all he does is sit around and tell people what to do, but he's not doing a thing. And they would be critical of too much or not enough. But here we find he's doing too much, you know, and as a leader, I kind of look at it and say, what? What? He's doing too much? Because the moment Moses stops doing things, people are going to look and say, why isn't he there? Why isn't he doing this? So we have too much. And in this case, ministry. Too much ministry, right? In some cases, not enough ministry. And she's doing too much. She's always involved in this. And why do they always have to be the center of this? And they stop doing it and say, wonder what happened to them. And they're not getting involved. Folks, this is called a critical spirit in which we need to be very careful of. We need to be careful not to use ourselves as a medium and look at other people and say they are doing this and they aren't doing certain things. You know, we have a tendency as humans to look across the plain and look at people that are out there. Now, I'm the only one that's looking at all of you right now. But we have a tendency to look at everybody and be judgmental in every single case. Well, this lady right here, well, she's got a few issues with that. You know, we appreciate everything else, but and then that young lady right there, and this person right there, and this guy right here, and we could go all around, and what we're doing is we have put ourselves right in the middle of the crew, the focus of the crew, and we're saying, what I do, though, is right. And you're all to this and you're all to that. Be careful about putting yourself as the focus of everything. Because what's going to happen is a critical spirit is going to be developed. Now, on Wednesday nights, we have been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And go ahead, it's Sunday morning, you don't normally talk, but 1 Corinthians 13 has a key word. What's that key word? Love, charity, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, well, let me back up. In all of Scripture and in our word love, there's a lot of different facets of that word, isn't there? Love. In 1 Corinthians 13, what is the point or the focus of love? I'll tell you, 1 Corinthians 13, it revolves around selflessness. It's a focus off of me and onto you. Did you hear that? It's a focus off of me and onto you. It's living before others and not for myself. It's limiting myself so that I can be this or be that. It's saying no to self and saying yes to others. And that, my friends, in 1 Corinthians 13 is the picture that we're painted of what true love is. Folks, a critical spirit is not love because all the focus is on self. It's on me. I'm this way. This is the way I talk the right amount. I do this the right amount. I spend the right amount of money. I talk, you know, I do this. I get in the perfect amount of ministry. I do this, but I don't get too much. You know what? We all have a balance that we think is right, and that's why you do what you do. And if you don't do that, then well, shame on you. You've got to do what you feel like God has called you to do. God has called you to do certain ministries. You do this, and maybe you try to visit the elderly. Maybe you try to write cards, or maybe you call people, or maybe you are here at the church and you clean, or you are an usher and you open the door for people. And we all have certain things that we do, and then everybody else has the things that they do. Brothers and sisters, true love and striving together is not looking at other people and being critical about what they're doing. And we're going to get to it in a moment, what the opposite of it is, what we ought to do. In fact, while we're talking about charity, why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and I just want you to look at one of the words that is being used here. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, this word that is used, we need to understand it. I have brought it out in past weeks on Wednesday nights when we've looked at this, and I'm just going to kind of highlight it again really quickly because it's what is being addressed here with these men that are so critical of Moses and Aaron at what they're doing. And I can assure you, it's not love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, there's four things mentioned in this verse. They all go hand in hand. They are all part of the whole that work together. You cannot take one and define love with just one. It's all of them together. But there's one word, and I don't say that it stands out more than the rest. It's just a word that we need to understand in dealing with having a critical spirit. And that is the second one. We know that the verse starts off with love. It's not given here, but love beareth all things. But second of all, love believeth all things. Now, I've already shared what that is. What does it mean to believe all things? To believe all things is not to gullibly just go around and just assume that everybody is always telling the truth and that even if you have good reason, you watch them do something that you're just going to just blindly cover your eyes and say, yep, that's true. But believe with all things is to say, you know what? Unless I have very clear evidence, what they tell me is what I'm going to choose to believe. And brothers and sisters, that's love. It's love to assume that what they're doing is the right thing. Did you hear that? I am supposed to, everybody listen, this is so important with this message. I've got to assume that what other people are doing in their Christian walks is the right thing. You say, is that always true? No. Every one of us has our own issues. Every one of us has our struggles. But from my perspective to you, I've got to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're doing what you ought to do. And if you're not, well, that's something between you and God that you need to take care of. But I've got to believe all things. And if you say that you're trying to live the Christian life, then brother, I have to believe you're trying to live the Christian life. And by the way, and you ought to look at that other people that way. You see, what happens when we won't believe people and we just say, yeah, well, that person over there, they're just making excuses. That's why they're not here. Do you know why they're not here? And I would say sometimes we don't. But see, we get critical because we think that this is okay. We think it's okay to attend this, but it's not that big of a deal if we don't attend that. We've got to stop looking at other people and using ourself as the medium. Brothers and sisters, that's not love. It's not love. And it ought not to be. Korah was not using brotherly love this morning when he woke up and got together these men and said, you're doing too much. Now we'll look at what he should have woke up that morning and said here in just a moment. No, instead we ought to believe our brothers and sisters and we ought to be thankful for what they're doing. But I want you to look at a second point here. What did they do with this? Okay, it started with Korah. And where Dathan and Abiram fit in there, again, I don't exactly know, but there's a group of one or three men that get together a group of how many men? Go ahead, look at your scripture. It says in verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. All right, 250 people. 250 important people. 250 probably leader people that rise up. And boy, this is a powerful group of people. And these three men, one man, three men, get together, another 250 men, and they come and they rise themselves above Moses and Aaron. All right, Moses and Aaron, sit down. We have something to say. All right. I would say that there was no grounds for Korah being critical of Moses and Aaron doing what God had told them to do. No grounds. But let's just, for sake of illustration in the passage here, let's just say that there was. Let's say there was grounds for them to be concerned about what was going on with their leadership. I think we ought to be concerned with other people. In fact, the Bible tells us that we ought to care about one another and what's going on in one another's lives. When we see another brother overtaken in fault, we which are spiritual, we ought to restore our brothers. We ought to encourage them. We ought to challenge them. We ought to try to pull them back in. We ought to be involved in restoration, loving our brothers and sisters. And God says so much about that. But when we see something, a concern in somebody else, the wrong thing to do is what? Pull 250 other people into it. Brothers, I want to tell you something. They were wrong in pulling. You know what? If Korah had a legitimate reason why he was concerned that his leader was doing too much, and by the way, leaders can do too much. But if he had a legitimate concern, he should have went to his leader and says, Moses, can I sit down with you for just a minute or talk with you and share something with you? I appreciate what you do. I'm thankful. We recognize that God allowed you to be our leader. And remember, this is not just in application, just leadership. Let's think about everybody, okay? Everyone. I recognize this. I'm thankful for this. I'm concerned that you're spending so much time. You know what? Is there another time when Moses was addressed with a similar issue? There was. Anybody remember who talked to Moses about it? His father-in-law. His father-in-law sat Moses down and said, Moses, I think you ought to consider having some help. I think you ought to consider having people over, groups of people and do that. And you know what? Moses did it. He took it. I feel like Jethro probably went to him in a right spirit. He came and he wasn't critical. He was just telling him, I think you need to think about it. Folks, what we're talking about here is not having a mind and being a help to other people. In fact, a help to other people is good, but it wasn't a help to go to 250 other people and then go to him. Can you imagine Moses' response if Korah would have come to him that day and just would have said, Moses, I'm struggling a little bit. Now, again, he didn't have grounds because his concern wasn't just that Moses was overworking himself and just going to burn out and that. That was not his concern. What was his concern? His concern was, who do you think you are? So, this is different. Korah did not have good grounds. Korah was jealous. Does everybody understand that? But if he did have good grounds, Moses, you're doing too much. The thing he ought to have done was sit down with Moses. Moses, Aaron, I'm just concerned about you. I'm concerned. You know what? Let's say that he had grounds, that he thought Moses was usurping authority, which God didn't give. Even if he thought Moses was doing wrong, he still should have sat him down and said, Moses, did God really give you this authority? How come you don't want to use any of us or whatever the case? But he didn't do that. Instead, what he did was he stirred discord among the brethren, or he sowed discord among the brethren. What it means to sow discord, it means to go into behind that other person's back is to get other people and recruit. It's like recruiting people. Are you seeing what's going on over there? Are you watching this guy? Look at what he's doing. And you know what? So-and-so, number 213, that was part of this group, might not have even been thinking about that until that morning when Korah or, Dathan and Abiram, walked over to him and said, have you been taking note at what so-and-so's doing? By the way, you better be careful when somebody approaches you that way and says, have you been watching this other person? That wasn't the right thing for them to do. He pulled in these others around them. Don't you think? Have you noticed? He says. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19 is one verse that's couched in a bigger section. Verse 16 starts the section, and it goes through verse 19. He says, These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. So he's about to give us a list of seven things. Six of them are bad, and the seventh just really bad, okay? And this is what he says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies. And what's the seventh? And he that soweth discord among the brethren. That person that is not going to go to the individual first, but no, instead, they are going to go around and circumvent the issue. Not go to the issue, but they're going to circumvent it and go around and try to get a team together and recruit a team together. They're going to get on the phone and they're going to call so-and-so. Did you hear? Did you see? Folks, I want to tell you, God hates that kind of an attitude. And I'll also say this. Everyone listen, please. God does not mess around with a person that sows discord. Don't be a person that sows discord. Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, the best thing to do is go to the person themselves and talk to them and help. You know, and a lot of times you can fix problems when you go to that person. You know why problems are fixed that way? Because it's God's way to do it. God's way to deal with individuals is for people to individually go to themselves and take care of it. God has a way for a church to deal with it. And the first way is always individual. Go to them alone and talk through it with them. And see if you can restore, brother. Get them back and see if you can help. And maybe they can help you understand what they're doing. I didn't know that you were going through that. Have you ever jumped to conclusions with somebody in their lives because they were doing certain things? You just assumed something and then it wasn't until later you realized that they were going through something in their life and I have been judging them wrongly all these years. Has that ever happened to you? I'll tell you what. It probably has happened to many of us. A lot of times we jump to conclusions about certain people and we have no idea what's going on behind the doors of their homes. We need to be very careful when we don't know what's going on. At least go to them and find out. You know what? I'm concerned about this, but tell me. Ask questions instead of accusations. You know, I've just been concerned about this. Can you help me out with this? Instead of, listen, you're doing too much. You're not doing enough. Getting the whole crew of 250 people together and building up this big old thing. Now there's 250 people that are pulled into this man's mess. And did they suffer because of it? They did. Can I go to the counterpart of that? Don't be one of the 250 that listens to it. If somebody comes to you and says, have you heard? And say, no, and I don't want to hear. Don't be a part of it. Do whatever you can do to get out of it. Don't be it because you might get swallowed up with a critical spirit. These men did, every one of them plus others. They were swallowed up because they were critical of God's leadership. But it goes beyond the leadership, it's to other people. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. What a tremendous passage which Moses of all men is used here. A man that was meek. Meekness of spirit. And this man that was reviled against, and yet his response was wonderful, except for one time. And that one time cost him his opportunity into the promised land. You remember that? One time, Moses finally got frustrated enough when God told him to speak to the rock, he smote it. And my friends, what a sad, sad, sad story. Because a man that was such a godly leader, such a godly man that went through misery. I want to tell you something, this leader went through a lot of miserable people. Over and over again, you're not doing enough, you're doing too much, why are we doing this, why did you take us out of here, why this, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I don't have this, I don't have that, what are you doing, Moses, why are you the leader, why do you take us here, why are you up in the mountain so long? That's all this man went through, and one time Moses said, I have had enough, and he hit that rock, and it cost him his opportunity into the promised land. Folks, I want to tell you, we can't afford to mess up. But James chapter 3, we don't see the negative side of this. We see this man that was meek. He wasn't weak. No, he was strong under a lot of pressure. And he did not lash out. He did not revile again and against. But we get to this passage in James 3, which he's coming off of the tongue and onto this. And notice what he says here, brothers, about sowing discord. He doesn't use those words, but notice what he says. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, really what he's talking about is a critical spirit. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, in other words, this critical spirit, this wisdom that is from this wisdom descendeth not from above, verse 15, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Somebody said this kind of a spirit comes from the devil. You're right, there it is. Verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Did you read that? Whose work is it to be critical and to sow discord? This is the devil's work. Did you hear that, Faith Bible Church? It's the devil's work. It's the devil's work. It's the devil's work. You say, why do you say that so many times? Is it because Faith Bible Church needs it? We all need it, brothers. Every church needs it. Let's not get caught up in sowing discord. If you have a struggle with your pastor or anyone else, go to that person and get it taken care of. Talk to them. Make your suggestions. Go to them. Don't be critical, number one. But if you're concerned, go and talk to them. Don't get a group of people with you. Again, folks, that is devilish. Don't do it. And here this man pulled in a group of people that were going to be swallowed up into the mouth of the ground with him. But there's a rather to this. And here's what I want you to see. There is a rather. The first point that we make is let's not be critical. Don't be critical. Don't make yourself the medium of everything. Number two, let's not sow discord. Don't pull other people into it. Go to them yourself. But number three, here's another this is a positive. Let's not be critical. Let's not sow discord. But number three, let's do right ourselves. Let's do right ourselves. You see, all of the focus was on what Moses and Aaron were doing or were not doing. They made themselves, Korah, the medium, and what they were doing too much, or they were not doing enough. And the focus was on that. All of their focus was on telling others about Moses and Aaron and what they were doing wrong. Now, just imagine with me just for a moment. Can you imagine if they would have focused on telling or saying to these other 250 men how their leaders were such a blessing to them? Can you imagine if Korah woke up one day and he would have said, you know what? I'm thankful that I have a leader that's willing to do a lot. I'm thankful for a couple of men that are dealing with some of us miserable people. You know what? Today I would like to go and I would like to visit Moses' tent. And I'd just like to stop by and say, Moses, I know that what you're doing is tough. I want to thank you for it. What do you think would have happened? Do you think that Korah would have been swallowed up? I don't think so. What do you think would have happened if Korah would have woke up that morning and he went to Dathan and Abiram and said, you know what, guys, friends? We've got some good leaders. They're humans. They make mistakes. I think we ought to get together a group of 250 people. Get them together and sign a card or take them over to Moses' tent and Aaron's tent. And I think we ought to go and share with them why we think that they are such a blessing to us. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Edification rather than destruction. Let me ask you a question. Was what Korah did that day, was it destructive? Absolutely destructive. And who was destroyed the most? He was. He was. And all of his partners with him. Was it difficult, do you think, for Moses and Aaron to hear this? Of course it was. What a detriment. They weren't edifying, though they were destructive. Do you realize the magnitude of a help of an encouragement they could have been? I want you to think of the two ends of the spectrum. We have one that wakes up in the morning, he gets his two buddies, and they find 250 leaders, and they go, and they come up before Moses and Aaron and say, and I can only imagine as a leader what it must have felt like for Aaron to say, Moses, what's going on? Moses walks over and looks out the tent and says, and I can only imagine the thoughts that went through. Oh no. What now? What's going on? What have we done now? What are we not doing? What are we doing too much of? Their hearts probably were sitting there beating. I wonder what these 250 men are going to say now. Moses, sit down. Aaron, sit down. Who made you authority over us? You're doing too much. Now, I want you to think of the destructiveness. Think of that destructiveness when these 250 men were done at what Moses and Aaron were going through. Felt like dust. Flip the events. Here's Aaron. Moses, what's going on in here? I don't know. There's a lot of guys. Could be dangerous. Moses and Aaron, could you come out here? We're thankful for what you're doing. I know it's got to be tough working with a couple million of us. But I want you to know that we appreciate what you do. God has blessed you. God is using you. He's using you to help us take us somewhere. Thank you. Now, what do you think would be going through Moses and Aaron's hearts when they would be saying that? Boy, they'd be strengthened. They'd be edified. They'd be encouraged, right? Encouraged to, we can do this, folks. We can go for it. We can enter the promised land. I would say that's a huge, vast difference. If they would have had a few things changed around. Folks, rather than be critical of what you think other people ought to be doing or not doing, rather than going around sharing your critical thoughts with others and breaking up the body of Christ, I have a suggestion for you. Why don't you do right? Did you hear that? Why don't you just make a decision to do right? And if you think, you know, can you imagine if Korah thought he was doing, you know, what if Korah would have come to him that day and said, Moses, I think you're doing too much. And so what I have done is I have organized a group of 250 people to give you spells, you know, throughout part of your time. You're still the leader, but I have organized it so you get some breaks. I have figured it out so that you can have, you know, this, and so you can refresh yourself, and we've made it easier for you to do this. Can you imagine what Moses would have gone through if he would have come to him with that? If Korah would have decided, I'm going to do right. You know, what if the opposite would have been true? Moses isn't doing enough. I don't understand why he won't do it. You know, why he won't do this. You know, if Korah would have showed up that day and said, you know what, Moses? I've been burdened for you and I just see that you're under a lot of pressure. I'm going to take this. I'm going to do this. You know, the Lord has been burdening my heart that this needs to be done. And I know that you're a very busy person. I'm going to do that. You see, you do right. And stop looking around at what other people in front of you, behind you, on the side of you are doing or not doing. Guard your heart and your spirit. Don't go around to other people and you just decide you're going to do what maybe God has burdened you to do. You do right. You do right. I'll tell you something. If we would take this spirit, we would strive together for the faith of the gospel. It's called striving together for the faith of the gospel. I don't encourage you. Let's not have a critical spirit. Let's not sow discord. Let's do right ourselves. Incidentally, it's interesting, who is the one that is swallowed up? And it wasn't the one who was doing too much. We didn't look at the rest of the passage, but you know the end of it. It's a devastating event that took place. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up with a critical spirit. Father, would you help us? Father, would you help us? Thank you for what you've taught us. Lord, now I trust that your Holy Spirit would teach us and apply it in our own ways. And however it hits any one of us, God, help us to respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.